Go ahead and turn there with me to Genesis chapter 4. I want to speak about the prayer of faith this morning, as Ethan alluded to, and I appreciate him leading that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I don't know when it was the last time that I actually prayed for an hour. I know, boy, when I became a father, I certainly spent a lot of time praying that I'd be the right father. And I didn't necessarily do that when I got married, but nonetheless, I still pray that I'm the best husband I could be to my wife. So I'm sure I spent quite a bit of time in prayer to God on that behalf. But Sweet Hour of Prayer, we sing that song to think about the time when we spend together, when we spend together going to God together, and certainly going in prayer with one another. We open up our time with a song and a prayer. I think it's very appropriate that we do that, and I appreciate Ethan leading that song. If you have turned your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, look there with me. After these genealogies that have been spoken about from Adam to Seth, we see there in verse 25 or 26, and as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. There's been a lot of speculation about this passage here, about the men began to call on the name of the Lord. But I think if you would see that beginning with Cain and further on from Cain, that men afterward would depart from God, them being separated, Adam and Eve, rather, from the Garden of Eden, you would see that their separation would still have them, even though being the creation of God, still trying to find out, trying to find out God and seek Him out. And I believe that's a response here in verse 26, that men began to call on the name of the Lord because they remembered Him in their distresses. They remembered Him in their afflictions. They called upon Him quite literally in some aspects, amongst other things, that they would draw upon God for His strength, that they would search Him out and seek Him out. And it was a very early thing, I believe, that men began to pray. After Adam and Eve, as I said, were cast out from the Garden of Eden, it wasn't as before when they had the relationship they had with God, to where God was with them daily. God was with them perhaps as often as every second, we don't know. But as soon as they sinned, the separation from God occurred to when they were no longer in the right standing with God. They were separated, and God cast them out of the Garden of Eden because of their sin. It was the sin that did that. But however, we see men of faith becoming here in this verse, that men began to call the name of the Lord. So that when they would call on the name of the Lord, it happened early on. It didn't happen later on in generations of man, to where they searched this new thing out and they found that there was a God and they started searching Him out. But whether it was their lives tended to go back to God, whether it was they spoke that God was with them and that God was on the earth, and because of God they were created, they were men on the earth, and that was their purpose. Whatever the reason, they began to call on the name of the Lord, quite figuratively and literally, I believe. What was this when they started to call on the name of the Lord in this aspect? We don't necessarily know, but as I said before, we can draw on this point to where we know from very early on, men sought out God and sought to be with Him, sought to speak with Him, sought His presence. And from that aspect, I want us to look at our lives today and consider the prayer of faith. I'm not going to consider every instance in God's Word about praying, what it is, and how often we ought to do it, although I think we have wonderful examples of prayer in the Bible and men that did that, and we can look to them and see how lacking sometimes I think prayer is in our life. You consider Daniel when he, as it said, was his custom in Daniel, I believe, chapter 6, when it was his custom from when he was young to go into prayer to God three times daily. When a decree had been had that those who could not serve any other God but the God that was made from the king, he went into his house and he prayed. Said he opened his windows there. It wasn't like he was hiding. It wasn't like he was saying, okay, now that this decree has been made, I better keep my faith to myself, which is a wonderful example in itself. But he went ahead and he prayed about that instance. I believe Hezekiah also, in 2 Kings, when he learned that Sennacherib had sent this scroll, this enemy of Jerusalem was about to overtake Jerusalem, and Sennacherib there lays the scroll upon the altar and goes before God, spreads it out, and he says, God, hear me, be with me, and lead us, for you are God, and this man cannot stand. He prayed to God and saw him out in that difficult time. Several other instances, when you consider Peter, when he, there in the book of Acts, was in prison, there were several gathered together at the house of Rhoda to give prayer. And they were praying so much, gathered together, those Christians there, that when Peter came and knocked on the door, whoever opened the door, the woman that opened, shut the door in Peter's face and went back to tell the others, perhaps out of disbelief that their prayers had been answered. But anyway, in these examples, you can see the instances that prayer was answered. It was given. Daniel was answered in his prayer. Hezekiah was answered in his prayer. Those Christians at the house of Rhoda were answered in their prayer. Do we see these men who began to call on the name of the Lord there in Genesis chapter 6 or chapter 4, their answers being given? That's not the point. And we all know, I think we've had studies before that define that God doesn't always answer the prayer that the answer that we want. He doesn't always give the answer that we desire. And I think when you look at Peter or Paul in 2 Corinthians, when he said, "I prayed three times that this thorn in the flesh be removed from me," the Lord answered him quite plainly, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." So God didn't answer his prayer. The Lord didn't grant him those things that he petitioned. And I think sometimes when we go into prayer, we get misguided about, I've got to have what I want. I'm taking this to God. We're just saying, you know, and it comes from Scripture where, cast your every care on Him, for He cares for you. Certainly that's what the Lord wants, for us to go and cast our cares upon Him. We'll look at some of this Scripture this morning that defines these various things that tell us we need to pray to God. But again, drawing back to Genesis chapter 4, early on that relationship with God, speaking to Him, was desired. Calling upon His name, calling upon His power to be in our lives, that was very early on in creation. It was desiring that relationship with God, desiring to be with Him and to be close to Him. And that's the kind of characteristic that God ultimately wants, for men to draw close to Him, to come close to Him and near Him. For He is not far from any one of us, Scripture would point out. It also desires to be in a right position, in a right mind, to be right with God. Not that we can just go as we can to our Father and say, "Dad, I want this," or "Dad, I want that." But we go to the Heavenly Father and ask for our lives and ask that, "I want to be right in Your sight, God. I want to have fellowship and share in the spiritual things with You." God wants us to have that relationship with Him. That's why we see very early on that relationship started with the men of the earth when they called on the name of the Lord. God wants us to have a close relationship, to where in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:17, when Scripture tells us to pray without ceasing, we can do that. I think all of us can see the need of prayer in our lives. If we were challenged, you know, to do some great wonderful thing, say if you were challenged to eat better for 10 months and see how better your body would be, a lot of us would say, "Okay, I'll take that challenge." And if a lot of us took a challenge to perhaps go ahead and run every morning, you know, from here for a year, and then after that see how good you'd be, we might take that challenge to think, "That's a good challenge. I need to better myself at that." But if a brother challenges you to go to God in prayer as often and as quick as you can, every day, every second, would we take that challenge? Would we take that request from our brother and say, "You know what, I know I lack in prayer. I need prayer in my life. I need to go to God." Would we take that challenge? So many times we take challenges that people give us for the betterment of our body, but we don't take challenges sometimes for the betterment of our spirits and our communication with God, so that we call the name quite clearly, call the name of the Lord. We need to do that, brethren. Pray without ceasing. That's not that while I'm here standing before you, I'm praying constantly as I'm delivering my message, but the praying without ceasing is to realize you need God every day, every instance in your life. There's not an instance where you don't need Him. He's your Heavenly Father and He wants to hear you. He wants that relationship. Go to Him. Pray to Him. Don't neglect it. So I challenge you. I give you the challenge at the first, right here, to pray every day to God if you don't. And I'm not assuming that people don't, and I'm not saying you don't. But I challenge you. Bring prayer to God in your life. Live rightly and pray to God and see the betterment in a week's time. In a day's time, that prayer will make in your life. The communication, the life of living and desiring God. As I said before, God wants that. I had Josh read Ephesians chapter 6, and I wanted to turn there with you briefly and notice a couple of things. We don't see there in Ephesians chapter 6 prayer being as part of the armor of God. We're told there in Ephesians 6 to take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. We see some wonderful things, and Brother Brad, when he was here, he encouraged us quite a bit about taking up the armor of God. But we don't see prayer, brethren. We don't see it listed there. Is that to say that we're not to take it up as armor of God? No. I plainly say to you that prayer is part of the armor of God. Let's look there in verse 13, as I mentioned, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. He'd go on to say there, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. Now in this list here, we'll see it in just a minute in verse 18, but in this list we don't necessarily see prayer. Now if you look and said, what is prayer? Prayer is talking and speaking to something that's not there. Namely, God the Father, or whoever your God may be, it's speaking to something that's not there. It's taking your words and your heart within your souls to God. But it's not listed here in this part where we see taking up the whole armor of God. Does that mean that we shouldn't do it? No. I believe the closest thing that we could possibly akin prayer to is there in verse 16, taking the shield of faith. Can we see a shield of faith? Can we actually carry it and bear it before us? We walk by faith and not by sight. Remember, Scripture tells us that as well. But when we take the shield of faith, I think prayer would be part of that shield. For we pray and in faith ask God those things and ask Him to be with us. And look what that shield of faith does. It quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. It is able to carry us on that when those darts are hurled at us, we can go to God and take those things to God. But it's not mentioned there, however. It's mentioned in verse 18, where Paul says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to sin, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. You ever thought about what that word truly means, prayer? What that word supplication really means? I'm going to save that to the end of our lesson this morning, but he says supplication twice. Paul uses the word supplication, and the root word of that is supply. Now think about that in terms of prayer. And then ask yourself, how often do I supply prayer? Not just for me, but for others. Because Paul says there, supplying, or praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to send, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He also goes on there in verse 19 as a side note to say, pray for me, that other utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. But continuing on from there, it is a weapon. Prayer is something that's wonderful that we have, that is from the armaments of God, that is from His armory, that He gives us freely. And yet, sometimes we use it so little in our lives. We don't go to God and pray and bring every occasion that we have issues with to Him. We try to face them ourselves. We try to hold them in and say, I'm going to deal with this. When we know God tells us to confess our faults and pray with one another. We don't use prayer. We don't use the prayers of others sometimes. We'd rather fight our own battles with ourselves. And brethren, don't we realize that the prayer in faith will help us? When we ask brethren, I have got a problem with this in my life, I want you to pray. We don't go that route sometimes because pride gets in the way and we don't see the effectiveness of prayer. We've got to see the effectiveness of prayer. It's not just saying a bunch of words into the air. It's going before God, and like I said earlier, having that close relationship with God and desiring Him to be in your life and desiring His power, almost like calling on the name of the Lord. In James chapter 1, verse 5 through 6, James speaks a lot about prayer in the letter that he writes there. But in James chapter 1, verse 5 through 6, we see James talking about those who lack wisdom. He says there in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. A couple of things that we need to take mention of and notice. If you do lack, especially wisdom, ask God. And that's what specifically is being mentioned here. If any of you lacks wisdom in knowing how to handle a situation rightly, I think in context here, it's talking about spiritual things. So which one of us can ask God how to handle a certain situation in this life? I think everything is a spiritual battle. I don't think just being a Christian and putting on the mind of Christ in certain situations is our spiritual battle, but every day, everything that we do, I believe is a spiritual battle. And we can go to God and ask wisdom on anything in our lives. But it says there, if you lack it, ask for it. If you lack that wisdom. It also says, who gives God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. And it'll be given. But then the third thing that I wanted to make mention of, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. God's not saying, don't you dare come to me doubting. God's not saying, don't you dare come to me having a little grain of well, what if, you know, God doesn't hear me, or what if I, you know. God wants you to come fully. So much so that He wants you to know again that it's a weapon. Prayer is a weapon in our lives. A spiritual weapon that we can use. And so little do we use it sometimes. So little do we neglect talking to our Heavenly Father. But He wants us to know that it's there for us to use and speak with Him. Also, Ephesians, we read while ago earlier, there in chapter 6, you don't have to turn unless you'd like to, but there we read, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Constantly praying, constantly being watchful in prayer. About what, might I ask you? I'd again say, everything in our lives is a spiritual battle. Everything in our lives is an opportunity for us to take it to God in prayer. Sometimes the good things, when we think all is going well and going good, and things sometimes do, we can give thanks to God. Is that a time to be spiritually active? Absolutely. We'll look at Thanksgiving in just a little bit. But sometimes when the going is good, we neglect being thankful. Brethren, that's a prayer. Giving thanks to God. And sometimes we don't do it. It's a weapon for us to fight against the wiles of the devil. It's also something that we can pour our hearts out before God. Again, an instance there in James chapter 5. I'll turn back there. I know that I've jumped back and forth. But James chapter 5, God again, through the hand of James, inspiring those things that he writes, speaks there, "My brethren, take the prophets in the name of the Lord," in verse 10, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment." And then as if James is getting away, he draws right back to prayer in verse 13. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." There in verse 15 also, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and if he has committed any sins, he'll be forgiven." God wants us to realize prayer is a big part of our lives, and when we don't use it, we miss out on so much. Lots of people think sometimes, "I'm sick, you know, I got to take some medicine." Why would it be wrong to pray about your illness? Why would it be wrong to pray about somebody else, other's weakness? Somebody else dealing with something in their life that they can't bear, that they have to go and deal with the world with? Prayer is a good way to do that. I want to, at this time, ask another question. Are prayers for everyone? Can everyone simply just say a prayer and send it to God? I'd like to answer that with the statement, prayers are not for everyone. And that's a hard thing because everybody thinks that they can lift up prayer to God and be heard and that they'll answer. And it can be a tricky question when you're asking that question. Can prayers be for everyone? Can everyone send prayers to God? I want us to look a little bit in Scripture this morning about that question. It's not that everybody can't pray. God's telling everybody through these words we've already looked at that yes, prayer is a needful part in your life. But if sin is there, if you continue to sin and enjoy the life of the world rather than give that up and seek God out, His face will be hidden. He will not hear you. And some people say, Kevin, how dare you bring that to my attention? Because I know that I struggle. I know that I have sins, but I pray to God often. And I think I'm a good person. Your prayers will be hindered, brethren. Scripture tells us that if we're not living for God and truly crave that relationship. Like was mentioned in Genesis chapter 4 again, that same relationship where men began to call on the name of the Lord, it wasn't just that they were praying. It wasn't just that they were calling on His name. It's that they wanted a relationship with God and they wanted to be close to Him. They desired to be with Him. That must be us too if we're sending up prayers to God. If we want that relationship, if we want our prayers to be answered, we must want that relationship. Look at Acts chapter 10, and some people might say this, well, see, God answered his prayer. Acts chapter 10, I wanted to look at Cornelius a little bit this morning. Cornelius, who was a centurion of the Italian regiment, says there in Acts chapter 10, he was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. He wasn't a Christian at that point. He had not obeyed the gospel. He hadn't said, yes, Lord, I believe. What can I do to be saved? But yet he was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now, what's to be said of that? As opposed to someone who does not pray always, one who is not devout, one who sins and does evil. Well, let's look at Cornelius a little bit further. Beginning there in verse 4, and when he observed that angel that appeared to him in the ninth hour, it says there in verse 3, verse 4 says, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. That means God was not slack in listening to what you had to say. But now is the time that the things you've been seeking out, now is the time of your salvation. Now is the time that God is going to do something for you because you have tried to live devout. You've tried to talk to God. You've given alms. You've been a devout man. You've made your life to where you were calling on the name of the Lord. So God heard him and remembered those prayers and remembered the things that had been brought before him, so much so that he sends Peter to go and to bring him to the Lord. And he even has to tell Peter in vision to not reject him. God going the extent there that he needed so that the prayers of Cornelius were to be answered. Now contrast that. A devout man that prays and gives alms and tries to live right to someone who is wholeheartedly given over to the world, who wholeheartedly does not have any desire to serve after God and only pulls God perhaps figuratively out of his pocket every now and then when he thinks that I'm in a dangerous situation. God, if you're there, hear me. Does God desire that? Absolutely not. He desires this kind. When an unbeliever wants to find God and seek Him out, God is there and will remember. Let's look at a few other things to tie this together. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 mentions there in verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked. He hears, though, the prayers of the righteous. What does that mean? That means He's not close to the wicked. Is that the Lord's choice? Well, in part, but it's also because of the wicked, because they choose not to be close to God. They don't want that relationship. They don't want to call on His name. But they only want to use Him as a means of convenience. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous. Let's look a little further in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the prophet, would deal with this also toward backsliding Israel. And let's look at what he would say there in chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, there in Isaiah 59, verse 1, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Let's pause there for a minute because what's being said here is that the Lord wants to be there. The Lord has the power to be there. And it's not that the Lord is slack and that He just cannot be there. But it says contrary to that, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. And look further at their lifestyle. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. And the list goes on and on. God says, I'm not pleased with that kind of person that doesn't want to be with me. Therefore, their iniquity shall separate me from them. And again, considering what we just read, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous. I appreciate it. I didn't mention this a little later in Acts chapter 10 when it spoke of Cornelius there in verse 34 and 35. Peter would give such a great speech about that and a great talk. He says, I perceive God as no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that fears God and works righteousness is accepted by Him. So that means those that don't fear God and those that don't work righteousness will not be accepted by Him. So I want us to be clear. If we're not seeking a relationship to God, it's going to be impossible for Him because of our position in life for our prayers to be heard. Unless they are of a condition where, God, I am a lost man. I want a relationship with You. I want You to be with me. That's the kind of prayer. A humble, contrite heart and a broken spirit is what God wants. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 31, in the giving of the law and in going into the new land that was promised to them through Abraham, the children of Israel would have something mentioned to them. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 16, beginning there. In Deuteronomy 31:16, the Lord said to Moses, Behold, you'll rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they will go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant, which I've made with them. Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them. I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Have not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day because of the evil which they've done, and then they've turned to other gods. God says, I'm not going to be with them. I'm not going to have that relationship. So much so that my face is going to be turned against them. Doesn't that sound like Proverbs chapter 15? The Lord is far from the wicked. Brethren, we've got to be desiring that relationship with God when we send our prayers to Him. We've got to be one of those who wants to serve God and do what's right. Or else do we think our prayers are going to be heard? Again, I mentioned God wants that spirit that's contrite, that's of a broken spirit. It says there in Psalm chapter 34, verses 15 through 18, The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, there in verse 18, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. But before that, in verse 15, he would say, The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and He hears, or His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. And then he would say about their heart and their attitude, The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. That being there in Psalm 34, 15 through 18. That's the kind of heart that can come to God and He will receive. Not one that conveniently, as if a plane goes down and is about to crash, God, save me. The Lord's hand is not slack that it cannot save that one. But what if the end of one's life drives one to do that? To wait until the end of the life to call upon the name of the Lord. Why not have that relationship now? Why not pray now, God, to God in full faith, with no doubting, as James mentioned there? But call upon Him, wanting that relationship, wanting Him to be in your life. Craving that the Father walk with you in everything that you do, and that you walk according to His Word. Why would we want to put that off and think that God hears us and that we're okay? Isaiah again, chapter 1, verse 15. Isaiah speaking to the children of Israel there would say, When you spread forth your hands, I'll hide my eyes from you. When you make prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. God specifically telling them there in Isaiah 1:15 that He would not hear them. What makes us think that we can live a life of sin or that we can neglect prayer until only it's right in our eyes and God will hear us? Again, prayer is not for making a show. It's not just that God won't hear the evil, but prayer is not for making a show, and some people perhaps sometimes make it for that. The Lord would say in Mark chapter 12, verse 38, through 40, speaking about the scribes and the Pharisees there, Mark chapter 12, verse 38 through 40. Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, having greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts. And notice in verse 40, who devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayers, these will receive greater condemnation. They don't seek a relationship with God, is what the Lord was saying there. They seek a relationship among the people so that they can rule over them, be seen for what they're doing, and have glory. Even at one point, the Lord saying, they have their reward. But seek the honor that comes from God. Seek Him out and put Him in your life and desire a relationship. Again, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When the Lord would after give His Beatitudes there on the Mount, as we call them, in verse 5, chapter 6 would say, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you go and pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. A lot of us think, don't say the same prayer over and over again. And we try to teach that, but we also don't teach why not to do that. We just say, don't do this. But it's because God wants a relationship to where every prayer is fresh. Every prayer is new. It's not something that you pray over and over again. I know sometimes we get into the routine of saying the same thing over and over again. Sometimes at dinner when we give thanks to God, we might say the same prayer. But let it come from the heart. Let it be something new and fresh to where you say, God, I appreciate my relationship with You. I love You and I want You to hear my thanks. Or, God, I appreciate You so much that I pray for this now. I know I've prayed for it before. Sometimes we get into the routine of a rote prayer, R-O-T-E. I'm not necessarily going to explain all that this morning, but give God that we want to give Him from a pure relationship. And also, when you consider in Luke chapter 18, the two men that went into the temple to pray, the one that was justified was the sinner because he wouldn't lift his heart. He knew he needed God. He wanted to be with God. But all he could muster because of his sins was say, Lord, forgive me for I'm a sinner. And what did the Pharisee who went in with him to pray? He said, I thank You that I'm not like this man. He had not the right relationship with God. Therefore, he was not justified there in Luke 18. Appreciate, brethren, the attitude of the apostles there in Luke chapter 11. And I know I'm a little long, but in Luke chapter 11, when they ask and they request that the Lord teach them to pray, a lot of people go back and say, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. That's not what God wanted. That's not what God desired. God desired them to have a relationship so that they could pray in that manner, so they could make prayer in that manner. They could pray to God, as He would say there, and teach them, Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, and it already has come, on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm not saying it's come to the earth, but His kingdom is here now being opened. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. And we all could go on and quote the rest of that. But God wants us to have that kind of relationship, not just be able to say that prayer. God wants that relationship to where we call on His name and realize His strength when we say our prayers. And let's consider for the remainder of the few minutes we have what prayers are. That word prayer means to pray, to supplicate, to petition, to ask for, to beg for. And I think when you go and see supplications, it's the same thing. But we need to realize that when we pray, we have the ability to go before God our Maker, to go before His throne and beg and ask and thank and pray for. I don't think sometimes we see the full impact of that weapon that we have in prayer, that we get to bend the ear of God. We get to beg of Him, God, please have an impact. God, please have an influence in our life, in this one's life, in that affair. So much so that, brethren, we can affect political situations. We can affect rulers, kings and principalities. We're told to do that. To pray for those in authority. How many of us have prayed for President Obama? The office that he holds. What about our Senate? We have power in our relationship with God and His prayer. and we don't need to neglect it. That's why we teach our young here at bedtime to go give thanks, to go pray before you go to bed. And sometimes when you rise, to rise up giving thanks to God for another day that you've lived, because you have a relationship that you can share with others that you have in God. Prayer is a wonderful thing, brethren. Again, supplications. Those are making supplies, making petitions, begging for other people, supplying for other people. We neglect this so much sometimes that we don't do it, or we neglect it. We think, oh, he'll be okay, he'll get over it, or I'm just not friends with him, so I don't think I could do anything for him. We neglect prayer. We neglect supplications. When I've spoken already about those in authority, 1 Timothy 2:1, pray for all men, kings, all in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. God wants us to pray for people. And finally, brethren, thanksgiving, which means simply the giving of thanks. A lot of us in November, we celebrate the time of Thanksgiving, which is a time that the United States celebrates the first pilgrim's Thanksgiving for allowing the blessing and all to flow from God and giving thanks for it. You know what that time is. But simply, when we talk about thanksgiving from God's Word, it's simply the giving of thanks. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Mentions, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. With supplication, prayer, and thanksgiving. Also, Colossians 2:7 would say, rooted and built up, you being established in the faith, and you also have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We could go on and on also, Ephesians 2, Colossians 4. We just studied in Ephesians chapter 3, actually, where Paul would say, I bow my knees to the Father for you, for men, for the church there in Ephesus. The Lord wants us to give thanks always, to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in our name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks for those things that God blesses us. I want you to leave this morning with the idea that prayer is not just bowing your knees. It's not just talking to God. It's requesting and desiring that relationship to be with Him, desiring to be close to Him, loving that relationship and wanting to be with Him. Don't neglect it. God grants us prayer to come to Him. I appreciate Hebrews chapter 5. The lesson will be yours after this. Hebrews chapter 5, the example we see from our Lord. And you can't ignore this. You can't get away from the example our Lord left us in prayer. How many times do we see Him in the gospel going away, separating Himself, going into the wilderness to pray? How many of us have gone into the wilderness to pray? I'm not testing us. I'm not saying you're bad for not doing it. But separating ourselves, going into God in prayer. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. So also Christ did not glorify Himself to become high priest, but it was He who said, You are my Son, today I have begotten you. As also He says in another place there in verse 6, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and was heard because of His godly fear. That godly fear was not just being respectful and putting the Father in His right place, because He said time and time again, not my will, but Father, yours. It wasn't just that. It was knowing that He had a wonderful, close relationship to the Almighty Father, and that nothing could separate that. And it says there in verse 8, though He was a Son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected there in verse 9, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. The Lord gave us a wonderful example of prayer and what it was. Let's not neglect it. Let's not neglect prayer and talking to God and desiring that communication, desiring the relationship, desiring to be with Him so that our Father will hear us. That's the lesson this morning. I've gone a little long this morning, but I want you to realize and be impacted with your prayers. They're sometimes put in the corner in our lives. I know I've done it before. I'm sure others have done it. They've mentioned it to me before that I don't pray as often as I need to. That's something I need to get back into. Brethren, why not do that now, today? As I gave you my challenge at the onset of this lesson, pray. Give thanks to God and go to Him and provide prayer for others. Supplicate. pray and make requests for others. That's what God wants of us. Not just that He presses His thumb and says, you have to pray to me, but that He wants that relationship with us. Let's not neglect it. Also, too, if it is that you don't have the right relationship with God and haven't fully obeyed Him, we've examined Scriptures to say God won't hear your prayer. Make it right so that He will. Make it right so that, you know, in some instances people have said, be a prayer warrior. You can't be without having the right life for God. I think there are many instances in our life right now that we need prayer. Each one of us can look in our lives and say, yes, Lord, hear me. I'm bringing this to you. Why would we not want that right in God's eyes? Let's make our lives right and go to the Lord in prayer. If it is that you need to obey the gospel, you need to come forward and confess that He is the Lord and that He is the one that saves you and that you need to rise in new waters and a new life. Come forward and confess His name and obey the gospel and then live faithfully and then be a prayerful person. But you can't without making your life right. If it is also that you've stumbled, you've sinned, and your life's not right because of the things that you've done, make it right so that you can continue to go to God and desire that relationship with Him. Whatever the case may be, though, come forward as we stand and sing.